I'm Patrick Campion for 89.1 WEMU, and I am joined today by Aaron Wolf. He is a storyteller, and he will be in town on Sunday evening for the second annual Center for Jewish Studies Hanukkah celebration on the campus of Eastern Michigan University. He'll be speaking at the Sponberg Auditorium. That's this upcoming Sunday at 6 p.m. Now, Aaron Wolf is a Moth Grand Slam winner. He is an NPR-caliber storyteller, and a great guy to just hang out with and hear about the incredible events of his life that he weaves into stories that really explain his culture and his heritage and his pride in being a Jewish American. We welcome Aaron Wolf to WEMU and share some of his thoughts about why he became a storyteller and what he's looking forward to sharing with us Sunday evening, again, as part of the second annual Center for Jewish Studies Hanukkah celebration at Eastern Michigan University's Sponberg Auditorium. You can find information at emish.edu/Jewish Studies.
I'm a storyteller. I love telling stories, true stories from about my life. And I was invited to come and basically do a short or not so short presentation about storytelling in my life and lessons I have learned telling stories and how they relate to the world at large and being Jewish in America and also how they relate to the power of storytelling and why it's such an important part of our life in general as human beings. No, a lot of it is just like, right, telling stories from the Jewish experience. And look, this we live in scary times, to be perfectly honest, and there's a lot. The storytelling show that I'm doing on Sunday actually hinges on a question that my 5-year-old son asks, which is nominally about why we celebrate Hanukkah, but it's actually about why we don't celebrate Christmas as a Jewish family. And there are lots of complicated and not so complicated answers to that question. But in this day and age, right now, as being an American Jew in America today, the answer to that question feels harder and much more complicated and much more important to find an answer for a 5-year-old that doesn't that isn't oversimplifying the question and also is honoring what my grandparents and what my parents and what I have lived through. So to answer your initial question, it's basically like, right, just showing up and saying, here I am, I'm Jewish, this is my experience. That's part of what I'm doing. And the other part is that my story, the story that I'll be telling and in general, the stories that I tell are in part about being an American Jew, but they're also about being the sibling of a brother who has cerebral palsy, which is a neurological disorder. And so kind of discussing otherness in general and discussing what it means to be, to feel other and to be seen as other in this country and in this world. Those are all part and parcel of why I'm doing this show and what this show is all about. I have felt more scared of being loudly and kind of proudly who I am. And I have felt more uneasy. Period, right? So I don't know actually if there's a rise, but I feel like there's a rise. And that's part of why storytelling, that's part of what I'm drawn to about storytelling. It's less about the facts and much more about what the lived experience is. So whether or not actually I'm in at any, my child is in any danger, sort of the sense is one of tension, right? And so that informs why I'm doing this and bringing humor to that tension, bringing lightness to that tension, and then bringing some serious moments some serious reflections to that tension that I think it's not limited to Jewish Americans at all, right? Not even a tiny bit. That's actually the fundamental backbone to the stories that I'll be telling on Sunday. It is trying to figure out, how do I talk about this with my 5-year-old son? This show is not for, it's family friendly, but it is oriented towards the adults, as we're all trying to sort of grapple in all of our different ways how we talk about complicated things with ourselves and with our children. The way I look to storytelling is I look at storytelling as a way of organizing the world. And if I tell stories about what I am confused about or what is hard for me to process or what I'm still working on as a human being, and if I tell those stories in public, that's creating a discourse in which we can all sort of be part of the conversation. Storytelling is a funny thing. It's a one-sided performative thing, but it is actually a conversation. You're having a conversation with me when I'm up on stage telling a story. We're just only hearing my part of the conversation. And my hope is that by telling stories about these challenges and telling stories about these confusing moments in anybody's life, we can all kind of start looking at these answers together and figuring out these answers together, basically. After a show that I did in Brooklyn a few years ago, a young woman came up to me after at the show. It was a huge audience at the Brooklyn Museum of Art, and I was telling a story about my brother who uses a wheelchair, and about my relationship with him and how it's changed over the years, and how it's, you know, how it's hard to be the sibling of a person with a disability. It's not hard physically, but it's challenging, right? And my brother and I talk about it all the time, and so this was part of the story, just sort of grappling with that notion of being the sibling. And this young woman came up to me after the show, and she kind of very, very quietly sort of thanked me for the show and was sort of meek and seemed kind of embarrassed. And I wasn't sure what she was getting at, but she sort of kept asking about how I started telling stories, and it was sort of seemed like general chatter. And eventually the conversation fizzled out. She disappeared back into the crowd. And a few minutes later, she returned, sort of being prodded along by a group of her friends. And she comes back and she says, I just have to tell you that my brother also is in a wheelchair, and I really know what you're going through. I know what it feels like, and I just wanted to say thank you. And then she walks back into the crowd and disappears. And in that moment, there's something crystallized for me about the power of storytelling and the power of conversation, right? For a minute while I'm on stage, or for sometimes for more than a minute, I am less alone in this world. I'm seen in this world. And everybody that relates to any part of it feels less alone for a minute as well. And that's exactly, I think, what you're talking about, that like the experience of seeing someone who feels like you, or just seeing someone who is different than you, and that the feeling of empathy rising inside of you, that is a powerful thing. And if we spent more time listening, it's ironic to from a person who's about to do an hour of stories in a few days, but if we spend more time listening to each other, we, I think, as a people will be better as a human race. We've all, on some fundamental level, if we're willing to admit it, we've all felt like an other. Right. And if we can identify the moments in which we felt other than in our lives, even if they're fleeting, right, then we can start to understand what it feels to the people who are other than us, and we can, that empathy can really rise and change us. I've done a lot of dialogue work. I grew up going to a socialist Jewish summer camp where we spent a lot of time talking about peace and coexistence in Israel and the Middle East, and did dialogue groups with Palestinian youth, etc. But to be perfectly honest, I haven't. I mean, that's I'm not Israeli, so that's not exactly like part of my identity, right? So it was a little bit safer for me to talk in about figuring out common ground with the Palestinian youth. But I will say that I tell a story. I'm not going to be telling it on Sunday, but I tell a story about 24 hours that I spent in a holding cell in New York City, and kind of coming to terms with my whiteness and my Jewishness in relation to the rest of the people of color that were in the cell. And I don't tell this part in the story, but there was randomly about a 2-hour period in the middle of the night where two young African-American men engage in a conversation about Judaism and why Jews have been scapegoated in America, and the relationship between Jewish American experience and the African-American experience. And I just listened. I didn't say anything. I think in retrospect, I wonder why I didn't say anything, but I did, and I just listened. And it was quite a lovely and unexpectedly hilarious and an informative experience, where this young 17-year-old ended up talking about the destruction of the temple and the diasporic Judaism, and how that affected them, how it affected us through millennia, and in this holding cell in New York City jail. It was a very strange night, to say the least. I think in general, I think we hate the things that we are afraid of, and I think we tend to be afraid of the things that are different than us. And I think that, to be honest, I also think that there are politically expedient to target a group of people that is generally weak, and use them as the scapegoats. And we see it now in all kinds of different ways, and all types of different people are being targeted in different ways. And that's a politically expedient maneuver for people in power. And I think the Jewish people have been on the receiving side of that for a long time. I think that's a part of it.